Basic Brewing Radio is sponsored in part by the American Homebrewers Association. The AHA wants to remind you that the Great American Beer Festival returns to Denver this October 6th through 8th. And if you want pre-sale access to the hottest beer fest in the U.S., you're going to need to be an AHA member. Join the American Homebrewers Association by June 28th for a pre-sale code, a $10 discount on all general session tickets, access to the members-only Saturday afternoon tickets, and the first access to paired tickets. Visit homebrewersassociation.org/basicbrewing today and get access to the hottest beer fest in the U.S. homebrewersassociation.org/basicbrewing. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, June 2nd, 2022. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Steve Wilkes and I sample tinctures dosed into a dark beer. We'll try toasted coconut, mint, and wild blueberries. And also, we'll check into my Christmas Day Kettle Sour Brett beer to see how that's coming along. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows. And if you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs and our brewer's logbooks. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to everybody who's helping on that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Financial supporters have already seen the video I'm planning to release to the public on Friday. It's the one on my small batch lemon custard pie ale. Definitely didn't turn out as I expected, and on the video episode, you get to see us try it for the first time since I sampled the hydrometer sample there when I bottled. I didn't have great expectations for this one. Be fun to see how it turned out. I did have great expectations for the Kernza beer that Casey Letillier at Ivoryville brewed. You heard about it on the show a couple weeks ago. I shot video of Casey's brew day with this new perennial grain. Well, the other day I visited Casey at Ivoryville Brewing to sample the beer and to do an interview for the video show, and it is delicious. If you're in Northwest Arkansas, head to Asylum Springs and get a pint or a crowler of the Restoration Kernza Ale. If you like triples, you'll love this beer. So much going on in the yeast character and the malt character. And I can't wait to share it with Steve for the show. I appreciate your patience with my taking this past week off from posting an audio episode. And I'll be taking the week of June 20th off for HomebrewCon in Pittsburgh. We're already setting up some fun interviews. Last week, Susan, Will, and I were in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we got to visit with our friend John, who lives in Wilkesboro. And I recorded an interview at Vaulted Oak Brewing, which you will hear in a couple of weeks. Some tasty beers there and a really good conversation. And I did something surprising in that interview that, to my memory, I've never done before in the 17 years that we've been doing this. No spoilers. We're planning to get together with our friends and sponsors at Imperial Organic Yeast while we're at HomebrewCon in later this month in Pittsburgh. Imperial has announced that they're soon to release a new yeast strain that was created by Imperial's lab featuring two of their most popular strains. I know what they are, but I'm not telling. More details on that coming up in the next few weeks. But in the meantime, Imperial has released a new series of videos on their YouTube channel. Now, these are targeted toward professional and advanced brewers, but brewers of all levels can get some great info in them. There's videos on cell counting and viability, harvesting and repitching, understanding pitch rates, propagation, oxygenation, and more. It's all a part of Imperial's dedication to making sure you're successful, whether you're pro or a home brewer. So check those new videos out on Imperial's YouTube channel. You know we love Imperial Organic Yeast with 200 billion cells in each easy-to-open package. My stir plate is dusty because I don't make starters anymore for moderate gravity 5-gallon batches, and my airlocks are usually bubbling before bedtime. Ask your local homebrew store about Imperial Organic Yeast and check them out on YouTube and at imperialyeast.com. Okay, Steve and I are having a lot of fun with this tincture series. It's been great for finding new flavor combinations that we love and sometimes the some that we don't. This time, we head to the dark side. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James.
We got a new setup here. We're trying this for the first time.
I know. I feel like I'm on NPR, so I'm just going to kind of whisper.
Yeah, we'll do some ASMR things right up front. Well, I'm going to comb my hair. Oh, I don't have any hair. Fair warning. We just got done shooting two video episodes with a 7.9% Simcoe two-hearted recipe, mm-hmm. and like a 9.3% lemon custard pie beer.
Yeah,
which was better than
it was just delicious.
And that came, and that's germane to the conversation because that came from a conversation that we had on one of these tincture podcasts where we were talking about, you know, I'd given you a thin slice of lemon custard pie before we started shooting. Mm-hmm. And then you said, you know, you could make a lemon custard pie beer, and then you listed some ingredients of what one might put in one of those.
Yep.
And so I used that as an inspiration to do a six-pack batch. And I thought it was going to be bad. I thought it was going to be really bad. And I don't know when this podcast is going to run, but spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was delicious. And it's just, I don't even know what to say. It just really surprised me because I was like you. I was like, this isn't going to be good. But dang.
It turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we added some lemon tincture to it, just the peel from a regular lemon this time instead of the Meyer lemon. And I was shocked. I was shocked that it was as good as it was.
Well, it sure made a good base beer for a fruit beer.
Mm-hmm.
So you could add, we put lemon tincture in it, but you could put apricot tincture or cherry tincture. Or,
yeah, for sure.
You know, and just see how it worked. So who knows, but. You know, that was tremendous. So check out that video when it airs. It'll be cool.
Yeah. And we've got a new setup here, as I said. This is hopefully going to sound better than I won't even describe the iterations of different setups that I've had over the years of us sitting together and talking and drinking and whatever. But this is much better. It's at least for ease of operation, we both got a microphone, or we've each got a microphone, we've each got a pair of headphones, and we got this board, this fancy board. And so we're, and then we've got this dark beer that I made.
Yeah, so tell me about the beer.
Well, the beer is I'm calling it the dark tincture beer.
Dark tincture.
Dracar Noir.
You know, Charlize Theron played dark tincture.
Remember Black Tower? Remember the commercial for for Black Tower wine with the bottle sitting in the stream?
Oh, hey, my a girl I dated in the 70s, and I got a hold of a bottle of Black Tower or Black Cat. Or, I don't know. But it's like,
that was
come
a fire
on, baby. Oh, yeah. I massaged her matouse.
Now, wait a minute.
She said Lancer.
Lancer, I already know her.
That's right.
All right, okay. I'm going to stay away from that.
Yeah, let's do.
Were you expecting that?
No, that I was not. But I was actually pleasantly surprised. Not really shocked.
Okay. All right. All right, so this is a six-pack batch, or, you know, wound up around 3 quarts or 3 liters. Started off with 5 quarts of water at 164 degrees Fahrenheit, or 4.7 liters at 73°C. And to that, I added 2 pounds, or 900 grams, of American two-row, or brewer's pale malt, and 1 ounce, or 28 grams, of roasted barley. mashed in the preheated oven for an hour at 150 degrees Fahrenheit or 65°C. I collected my wort and did a 30-minute boil. At the beginning of that 30-minute boil, I did 9 grams of crystal hops at 3.4% alpha acid. After that 30 minutes, I chilled in an ice bath and racked into a 1-gallon jug and then added 3 grams of Safale USO5. Original gravity 1074, final gravity 1010 for an ABV of 8.4%. It's a big, it's a big
lord,
big beer day. So, I guess first of all, we should decant the. It's always a good sign. Decant the beer and just sample it on its own. And I can't reach across the table to tilt. Will it have? Yeah, it's
got looks
some,
all
right. Yeah, it's got some foam on it. I'll pour us a couple of of samples.
It's not as dark as I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's a really dark copper.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got three bottles of that.
Okay, so we're doing just a this is just the base beer, no
just
tincture.
Just the base beer.
Okay. Mm. So it's a little sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Not cloying, but mm-hmm. it's got some sweetness. It definitely has the the ring of a porter or a stout,
uh-huh.
but it's much lighter.
Right,
the chocolatiness. But it's actually quite chocolatey. I'm to me, I get quite a bit of chocolate.
It's got a toasted character that I think would pair with one of the ingredients that that we have here in front of us. It's not. It's not acrid in any way.
No.
It is, I would say, toasty rather than roasty. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it doesn't have any, it doesn't have that, you know, Irish stout bite. It doesn't have, you know, that, you know, a lot of stouts get their, well, stouts generally get their bitterness from the roastiness of the grain.
Right.
This isn't roasty in that sense. It doesn't go that far. But it still picks up some of that nice chocolatey, little bit of coffee sort of thing. But it's pretty restrained.
Yeah.
I suspect if you'd done another ounce of roasted barley in there, it would be on its way to being a stout.
And this recipe is based on the malt sampler series. So, you know, this is similar to the one that we made, mm-hmm. we did for the roasted barley back in the day.
It's actually real tasty.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'd drink. I mean, if you just pour me a pint of this at a picnic, I'd be like, oh, it's good.
Well, I poured more generously for you than I did for myself. We've got three of these chilled, so may have to pace ourselves. So we got three tinctures in front of us, and what I did was I took half a cup of vodka made in Columbia, Missouri, and I added to that half a cup of vodka a handful of frozen wild blueberries. I took a fistful of unsweetened coconut flakes or shavings. And I toasted them. Excuse you.
Oh, no. You're pouring all these strong beers, and I got the hiccups.
Need to give you some hot sauce, too. But I toasted the, we got a new oven because the broiler didn't work in the old oven. It is 25 years old, and it was baking things 50 degrees higher than they should have been.
So why is my marzipan burned?
Yeah, it was more of an incinerator than an oven. But anyway, I toasted some coconut, unsweetened coconut, in the oven, and then the third one is some mint that in the package from the grocery store it's labeled mint. And what did you?
I think it's spearmint. I mean peppermint.
Peppermint.
I think
you're right.
Yeah.
From my vast experience with gum.
Right.
So these are two of the things, like the toasted coconut and the mint, I think you would think of to go with a dark beer, maybe. And maybe the blueberry, maybe not. That was kind of a wild card.
No, I think the blueberry is a good choice. Actually, the one that I'm going to be the most curious about is going to be the mint.
Oh,
okay. How it interplays with the beer. So I'm ready to find out.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. We got these little plastic pipettes. Mm-hmm. And that looks like, what, 2.5 milliliters
okay.
into a third of a beer. And then it goes. And I'm gonna follow along. I'm not going to. Last time, I think we kind of went in different directions.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to stick with you this time.
Okay, so I've got the mint. The mint is in.
The mint is in. Oh, you can definitely smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And the vegetable matter has been in the vodka for like 3 days.
You know, that's really good. So I'm in about 2 to 3 ounces of beer here and about 2 mils of this mint tincture. And I was afraid that it would be medicinal, and it's not.
Right. No, it's tasty.
It's very good.
It's not like chewing gum and drinking beer at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is what I was kind of afraid it was going to be.
That's actually quite good.
Yeah. There's not that mint. There's not a mint bite.
No. It's real subtle. It kind of reminds me of smoking a Kool.
Leaning up against your friend's Corvair.
That's right.
Yeah, that's actually...
No, that's good.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I would... You know... It's very good. It's not something I would probably not drink pint upon pint of that.
Right.
But it's actually very tasty. I'm kind of surprised. The mint was and we haven't tasted the other two, but the mint was the one I was like, okay, if one of these is going to be a dog, it's going to be the mint.
Right.
Okay.
Well, what desserts? I mean, there are like those little mints little Andes mints. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
You know, the mint and chocolate, you know, that you find on your pillow. In the hotel room sometimes, you know, that chocolate goes well with mint in that regard.
Absolutely. And you know, a York peppermint patty,
which
feel like I'm standing on the Matterhorn right now.
You got your skis.
I got my skis.
Yeah.
So, no, that's good. I mean, it really is good.
Wow.
This is a surprising day. Because everything's been good.
That's surprising.
And that's surprising.
Well, don't jinx it. knock wood. Yeah, that's good. I would drink more of that.
That'd be a fun, you know, that'd be a fun one-off beer if you were a small brewery.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a fun one to make and serve for, I don't know, Mint Day
or Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
it'd be good, like a chocolate mint. Valentine's Day beer.
Ooh, this would be really good with like a chocolate volcano cake. You know, one of those pudding cake things, you know?
You bet, with a molten center.
Okay. I just gained 8 pounds.
Now here's a molten center cake. Ricky the Meatmaker from our friends and sponsors at Groenfell and Havoc Meaderies in Vermont is very excited about a new mead that's coming out this month. Be proud, Cassis Orange Mead will be available for pre-sale this week at Groenfell.com. It's in celebration of Pride Month, and a portion of every purchase of Be Proud will be going to Pride Center of Vermont. It's a sour mead, and Ricky says it's amazing with a nice Brett character. And Ricky gives the credit to Brewhouse Manager John for this one. And Brandy Slavinsky is an artist that won the contest to design the label, and you saw her work before on the Sour Mead Banker label previously. Like other Groenfell and Havoc meads and honey-based beverages, Be Proud is pretty sessionable at 5.8% ABV, perfect for the warm summer days ahead. And of course, for those who want a bigger, more traditional mead, Groenfell.com has those too, and they're shipping them across the country. And orders for $75 or more get free shipping to most places. Check out all the honey-based deliciousness at family-owned and operated Groenfell.com. That's Groenfell.
Okay, so we've determined that the mint tincture into this
The dark beer.
Caramelly dark beer. It's not really a dark beer. It's a copper beer.
Yeah, it's a dark amber, I guess you would say. It's not as dark as I intended. Now, okay, there's an issue with the coconut because I put the coconut in the vodka and it immediately absorbed most of it.
Yeah.
So what we have here is basically coconut vodka mud.
Yeah.
That we're going to have to.
Well, that's all right.
Like squish.
Do you have any lime?
I got a little.
I wanted to put the lime in the coconut. Oh. Stir it all up.
You put the lime in the coconut. Okay, there's the.
You don't have that album.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm proud of that.
Who was it?
Nielsen. Nielsen Schmilsen is the album. It's a great album. Should start doing album reviews.
Name any other cut on that album.
I can, actually.
Okay.
But just not by name. I can hum it.
I could name that Nielsen Schmilsen.
No, it's a really good. It's a great record. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Toasted coconut.
Oh, cheers, by the way. We haven't clunk.
Clunk.
I'm smelling some coconut.
Oh. Nice. Wow. It completely changed the taste.
Mm.
I mean, between the mint beer and the coconut beer, I would not tell you that that's the same beer with a little bit of, you know, clearly a difference in flavor. The coconut's great.
It upped the sweetness. Even though this is unsweetened coconut,
mm-hmm.
just the residual sweetness of the coconut itself, it really, just that 1.5 milliliters that we put it in this 1/3 of a beer, it really, really raised the sweetness level.
Where the mint did not. I went back and visited the mint, and it did not.
Mm. That's interesting, because if you just smell the coconut tincture,
mm-hmm.
well, it smells better than it did the other day. It doesn't smell as good as this tastes.
It doesn't smell great.
No, it doesn't. I was afraid that it was going to be nasty. But
the tincture's good.
But the tincture, taken away from the soggy pulp, is pretty good. It's actually pretty. It's delicious.
You know, Nielsen put it on an album called "Soggy Pulp."
You're now their agent.
That's right.
Mm. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine that in a milk stout.
Be great.
The coconut adds sweetness. And mm-hmm. then in the milk stout, there's residual kind of sweetness. So I guess you'd have to work on the balance of that, but it's...
Yeah. And well, I pick up more than the sweetness. I pick up a nuttiness,
mm-hmm.
the toastedness of it. It's very toasty.
Mm-hmm.
And
which complements the toasty character that I got in the beginning, just on the base beer.
Yeah.
From the roasted barley.
And
in fact... I was going to, maybe I did say at the beginning when I tasted the base beer that it was almost a toasted coconut character to begin with. You know, that toastiness, that Maillard reaction kind of a thing going on. So it pairs very well. I'm not sure that, you know, maybe we should say, you know, what other styles these tinctures would go along with. Like on the mint, what other style would you pair that mint tincture with?
You know, I really don't know. I have to be honest, I don't have a clue, because mint is one of those flavors that sometimes I really like a lot,
mm-hmm.
and other times I'm just not a big mint fan in general. So I don't really know. I want to say it would pair pretty well with any, you know, like Kolsch's or blondes or something like that. I really don't know. I can't quite get it in my head. What do you think? What would you put it with?
Well, I was just thinking, because the mint does pair with the chocolatey,
yeah.
you know, the roasty chocolatey flavors very well. And so it would be hard to, you got a light bulb.
I had an epiphany.
I liked her first album.
That's right. I think we're alone, and thank God for that. Now, I think it would pair well into a strongly flavored Saison or Belgian style beer, but strongly flavored with orange.
Oh, yeah.
So the orange and the mint.
Or maybe a wit beer.
Yeah, so wit beer.
Yeah, orange and mint.
Yeah, so something like that. But I think you'd have to be careful not to get carried away with the mint, because I think it can overpower pretty quick.
Right.
But just an understated undertone of mint.
Right.
I think it would be really nice in a beer like that.
Yeah, I agree.
But the chocolate, I mean, chocolate and mint.
Yeah, it's an overhanger.
I mean, it's classic ice cream flavor.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Boy, I'm already opening the third one. How does this happen? We're drinking small samples. I'm happy with the base beer.
The base beer is good.
If anything, you know, it could be a little darker, but, you know, that's for next time or not, you know.
Right.
So now we got left the wild blueberry. And I think,
this is my base beer. I'm going to keep it.
Okay, you're going to keep unadulterated your base beer. Right. I'm going to put a bunch of this wild blueberry.
A bunch of blueberry?
Into the beer here.
Okay.
Stir it up a little. Steer it up a little bit.
Wild? Did you pick these blueberries?
No.
Did you go to Maine?
I picked them out of the frozen food section at the Walmarts.
Ah. So truly wild.
Yeah. Truth be told, this is what Susan likes these for, you know, like breakfast.
Oh,
I just raided our freezer.
We go to a blueberry farm and buy about 8 gallons every year.
Oh, wow. You have to pick them yourself?
No. Oh, God, no. I'd still be doing it. But it's a great, and then we do the whole freezing where we lay it out in trays, and then we, you know, bag them up in gallon bags and put them in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And we make smoothies all year out of them.
Oh, wow.
And the occasional pie when I can talk her into it.
When she's out of town.
Yeah. She'll make a pie for anybody but me. You don't need those calories.
Yeah, Gretchen can cook a mean pie.
She can make a mean pie. Okay. So this is the blueberry beer.
Hmm.
Good. Not my favorite.
I'm underwhelmed.
It doesn't. The blueberry doesn't hold up. I'm going to put some more in.
Yeah, I think that's the thing to do.
I don't get a lot of blueberry.
I don't get much of it.
So with the mint or the coconut, about a 2 mil pour into our 3 ounces of beer was plenty.
Yeah.
The 2 mil pour into the 3 ounces of beer wasn't plenty.
No, it didn't make a dent.
It's there now. I can taste the blueberry now. But you know what it does? It's not my favorite.
No.
It softens the beer too much. It makes it muddy.
Yeah. It's the worst of both.
Yeah. I agree. It's like it. I can taste the blueberry, and I can taste the chocolatiness or whatever you want to call it from the beer, but the two together aren't lighting my fire.
It's interesting because the chocolate characteristics paired really well with the mint.
Yeah,
and you would think that a blueberry chocolate would be delicious, but it's not.
It's not really. It's not terrible. I mean,
I'm gonna take a cup.
It kind of reminds me. So, I bought some fancy chocolates, right, for Mother's Day,
mm-hmm.
and
for yourself.
Yeah, for me. So Gretchen and I are like, we're having our Mother's Day dinner, and then I had this fancy chocolate bar, and it was supposed to be ginger and black pepper. It had neither ginger or black pepper in it. It was kind of like this. It was very disappointing.
Well, take a clean cup and taste just the blueberry tincture itself.
Okay.
And looking at the blueberry tincture, it's purple.
It's very blueberry.
It's got plenty of. I didn't muddle the. Maybe I should have muddled the blueberries. Because the tincture itself,
ooh,
it don't taste like anything but like vodka.
It tastes like unsweetened NyQuil. That's what it tastes like.
It's
wow.
Yeah, it's maybe I should have muddled the blueberries. I thought because it had taken on so much color from the blueberries, I thought that it was getting the flavor. But maybe it was. Maybe it's just taken the color from the outside of the berries.
Well, you know, blueberries are actually a fairly delicate flavor, mm-hmm. and perhaps it the
and wild blueberries maybe more so.
Yeah, and just so volatile that most of the flavor has already left, you might say. So maybe the other way to try it would be to have a lot more blueberry in that volume of vodka.
Right.
I don't know for sure. Blueberry is a weird thing. I make a lot of blueberry mead. I make two or three batches a year, it seems like. And I'm always playing with it because blueberries, well, like I said, we buy 8 gallons. So
got to do something with them.
Got to do something with them.
Before the next year.
Yeah. And I can't say I've ever made one that was bad. So put bad in your category. But I've never made one that I went, okay, this is killer. I could become rich if I just could figure out how to scale this up.
Right.
I've never made that because blueberries are, maybe they just lose their flavor. I don't know. As opposed to cherry, which stays really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Apricot, which stays strong. Peach does not.
Well, maybe it's in the strawberry family where, although, you know, they say strawberry is a very delicate flavor. And, mm-hmm. you know, once you add it into a beer or a mead, it goes away pretty quickly. But in the tincture of the strawberry, we liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But the tincture of the wild blueberry was, and these are smaller berries than the regular blueberries. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to look for them. You know, in the package,
right?
It says wild blueberries.
Well, and you got to catch them. That's the hard part because they're running around the store. If they get loose,
and you make little bitty lassos.
Yeah, if you've ever seen a blueberry shred your curtains, they get in the house and they get loose. You got a lot of problems. So
there you go.
There you go.
I'm checking out the Build Your Own Beer page from our friends and sponsors, Desiree and Dave, from HighGravityBrew.com. It's an incredibly convenient way to order the ingredients for your next brew. High Gravity is a well-stocked and well-run homebrew store. And on the Build Your Own Beer page, there's a long list of base malts, crystal malts, specialty malts, hops, yeast, and going along with this week's topic, there are a ton of adjuncts and flavorings, too. You'll find herbs, different citrus peels, spices, roots, and a very long list of fruit flavorings and purees that you can add to your beer as well. And just looking at the list gives me some fun ideas for some tasty summer brews. And as you add things on the Build Your Own Beer page, your total automatically updates at the bottom of the window, visible the whole time, so you can keep track of that. And, of course, while you're on HighGravityBrew.com, you can check out the Warthog line of electric brewing systems and controllers that can take you or help you take the pain out of propane. And if you use the code EBC75BB on your Warthog purchase, you'll save $75. That's at family-owned and operated HighGravityBrew.com. That's HighGravityBrew.com. So should we combine any of these two? I think this was the mint one. Let me taste.
I don't know. I'm going to do the mint and the coconut together just because I don't know. I'm just going to do that.
You're blending the actual beers. I'm going to do a squirt of the coconut tincture into the mint.
My brother drinks vodka and diet squirt. Oh. Yeah, that's my reaction too.
And that's what happens after.
Yeah, that was okay. That didn't work that great. I don't think any of these blend very well. They're just not.
No.
That's okay.
No.
I don't know. I think that maybe my favorite of the three was the mint.
I think so too.
Because it was surprising to me. I didn't expect it to be good. So when it was good, I was like, oh, that's great. The coconut kind of did what I thought it was going to do.
Yeah.
And the blueberry was disappointing.
Yeah, I agree.
Interesting.
But again, if I were to do it again, I would muddle the blueberries, you know, actually burst the berries and make sure that I got all the flavor out of the middle of them.
Right.
I thought that the alcohol was penetrating the berries because it's purple. So maybe that's my fault.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think it tastes like blueberry, but the vodka is still overpowering.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the mint's a winner.
The mint was the winner.
But the coconut, I mean, you can't go wrong with it.
The coconut is really good, but the coconut is expected.
Right.
It's like I figured if any one of the three was going to be, okay, this is good, this is a good show, it's going to be the coconut. It's you kind of can't screw coconut up.
I did. Well, the first round, it's been a long time since I've used a broiler because ours has been broken for like a decade. So I put a little baking dish of coconut in there, and I put it on the top rack, and I put the broiler on high, and then I said, I'll do some other, I'll wash some things up. And then the smoke started coming out of the oven, and I was like, whoa! And it was like black and burned, and I had to wash the thing and try it again. So I watched it a lot more carefully that second time and got a good toast. So, you gotta be careful.
Interesting. So I have got at my house, I've got a bunch of different dried chilies.
Oh.
So I would make you an offer, make you a deal.
If
you'll brew the base beer,
okay,
the tincture beer,
okay,
I will make the tinctures.
Okay.
I've got some guajillo. I've got some ancho. I've got some piquin. I think I've got some pasilla. I'm not sure. I've got several. And they're all vacuum sealed and happy. And I could make a little tincture.
Yeah.
We could do a chili tincture show.
With dark beer this time.
With a dark beer.
And maybe I'll put some more roasted barley in there.
Yeah.
Darken it up a little more.
Yeah.
We did that. We did hot hatch and regular hatch dried chilies in that first one. It would be fun. And I went to the big Walmarts. And I found some guajillos and some New Mexico dried chilies. Mm-hmm. And then I used some of the leftover hot hatch. And I made a chili, which I have in the fridge. And I was thinking of having you tasting just to see. But instead of using paprika and chili powder and all that, I made a tea with the chilies. And, so I basically made chili from scratch.
Yeah.
With those dried chilies. And I'm all excited about that. So I'm... Anyway, but yes, I'll take you up on your offer. So maybe I'll make another dark batch of the base beer.
Yeah,
make it a little darker, and next time it'll be the dried peppers.
Yeah, that'll be fun, and maybe we'll
be recording at your new rental house.
Oh God,
or maybe you come over here.
Well, we can.
Steve's building a new house.
Yes.
and is going to be in a rental house here before you know it. I don't know if you do. You want to? I guess you want to publicize that. We talked about it in the past.
We're building a house. We'll be there. We'll be out of our current home, which we've lived in for 30 years.
Oh my God,
dear God! And we have to be out of there by June the 10th, and then we'll move to a rental for somewhere between 9 months and a year, because it'll take 9 months to a year to build the house, and then we'll move into our new home.
Well, I'm so excited for you guys.
It'll be great.
It's going to be awesome. It'll be like childbirth. Well, there'll be a transitionary period, but then it'll be fine. It'll be great.
It'll be freaking amazing.
So you're holding right now, I just poured surreptitiously a bonus beer. This is the Christmas Day Kettle Sour beer.
Oh.
So this is an update. This is an update. This is a check.
Yep.
On when this is the beer that I got so sour that regular Saccharomyces wouldn't ferment it.
Right.
And then I eventually put Brettanomyces, Suburban Brett from Imperial in there to ferment it, and I actually did. Cheers, by the way.
All right.
And we'll just see. I haven't tasted one since we did the video episode, so this will be an interesting checkup.
Absolutely. Breaking news.
You smell it first. Oh, it smells funky.
That's so funky. If a boll weevil crawled in here, he'd die.
I don't know what that means.
Because... Well, boll weevils are funky.
Oh. Funky boll weevil.
That's right.
It does smell. It smells.
That's got some barnyard.
It smells of Brett and a little bit of cheese.
Yeah. I was going to say Brett and lemon. Do you get lemon? I do get
not
cheese.
Not on the nose.
As soon as you said cheese, I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cheesy.
There's a little bit of cheese.
That's pretty cheesy.
Oh, but it tastes. I think it tastes really good.
It's good.
It tastes bright. Right up front, it tastes bright and tart.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the back end, there's a little bit of cheese.
It's got a little feta going on in there.
a little bit of cheese.
Yeah.
But
that's pretty freaking good.
It is evolving in the bottle.
Yeah. I say it's still too young.
Hmm. Oh, wow. There's my brain has to connect to the flavors. There's some higher like phenolics that I haven't tasted before. It's not quite plasticky, but it's there's
it's got a little Laffy Taffy going on.
Well,
just a little bit,
actually. Yeah,
it's got some Laffy Taffy. It's got some feta.
Mmm, but then there's like some.
It's very complex.
There's some mango. In there as well, there's some tropical fruit stuff going on. Wow, that's good.
That's amazing. That's one of the cool things about this style of beer, these sour beers in general, is that they tend to be very complex. They tend to have lots of different flavors.
Right.
And
this is not so sour that it's just like knocking me out with, ooh, this is so sour.
No.
You know, it's like it's tart, but it's not so tart that it's knocking me off my feet. But there are a lot of there's a ton of different flavors in there that are really it's not a fruit salad, but it's
no.
That kind of thing where you mix a lot of things together and you taste them and
it's a beer I've never had before.
Yeah,
I mean I've never had anything that tasted like this before ever.
Wow. There's a little bit of grapiness.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sort of a wine sort of thing going on.
Yeah, kind of a Nelson Savon kind of.
Mm.
Yeah, a little bit of white wine, a little bit of feta. Man, give me some olives. I'm good.
Well, a few more months, there may be some olives in there. No, but the Brett, you don't know what the Brett's going to do.
No.
Prognostication
is that it will continue to dry it out over time.
Mm. And it's nicely carbonated.
Yeah, it's very nice. Out.
And it's drying out. But it's not so dry that it's, you know, there's still a substantial body to the beer. Wow, that's fun.
It's good.
Mm. Wow, I'm glad I've got, more of them in there that we can... We can age out.
It'll be fun to do. We'll
do a Christmas episode.
We should just, every couple of months or however, come back to this and have one. I don't know how many you have, but,
yeah,
and just every so often just do an update.
Yeah, every time we get together for an audio episode,
yeah.
It'd be like, hey, let's check in on the Christmas kettle sour.
Or check it in.
Yeah, that's really good. And it's really cleared up a lot. It's just crystal clear.
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
That's what they said about my acne.
Finally.
It's finally clearing up.
Oh.
Well, this
Pardon
is,
me.
This is more fun than I'm supposed to have in a year.
I wish I had the Price is Right theme on here or something.
What do you got?
I don't know. I got some. What's this?
Oh, yeah. Now that's happening. That kind of pairs well with the mint. What else you got?
That's my ringtone.
That just says my nurse is late for my body bath, my sweat bath.
Okay, I'm not going to push any more buttons.
Oh, I'll push one more.
All right. This is Randa Button.
It's time for Brian and the baby.
All right. Well, this is fun.
This is great.
I love these tincture shows. I hope that everybody gets the same amount of fun. And these, it's an easy thing to do. If you've got a keg full of beer,
yeah,
and you want to like try different flavors, mix you up a tincture of, you know, half a cup of vodka and whatever you want to throw in there,
yeah,
and let it, you know, steep for 3 or 4 days, and
yeah,
and you know, do some squirting in there.
Well, you know, because we live in Arkansas, we should do a roadkill. It's your squirrel, your possum, and your skunk.
Now, this possum I found out here.
Found it out
has
here.
Has been out here for about 3 days. And, you know, you got to scoop the innards out. Yeah. And this here squirrel's here is a little fresher. I got this skunk here, and so I got this Pilsner Urquell clone here.
I got some Heineken that's already skunked enough.
I'm sorry. I meant Heineken, not Pilsner Urquell. But Pilsner Urquell, if you get them in the green bottles, you got to watch out.
Yeah, that's right.
Not to slight Pilsner Urquell. Okay. Now it's time to sit and drink water for a while.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, James.
Well, thanks again to Steve. I'm going to take him up on that offer to make dried chili tinctures. And I think those would be especially good paired with this dark beer. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. That's all. Until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.